All right, from Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett. And thanks for joining us again as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond, all the way through this beautiful island.
Whew.
Yeah, what, John?
We're talking turkey.
Are we? Are we going to talk turkey today?
I think we're going to talk some turkey today. No, okay. What I was discussing when we were coming by today, I'm like,
yeah,
we need to talk about Christmas because you know what? We really don't grab the holidays and talk about them on our podcasts. And
I know. It's because of the timing. It's because of when we record versus when they air. And quite often...
we remember the day of...
Yeah. Or if we wanted to record something, it's not going to go up until like 2 weeks after that holiday and everybody's already forgotten about it. So, no, I think that's great. Let's talk about... I mean, this has been 4 years now. 4 years we've been doing the show. We haven't had a Christmas episode
Had a Christmas episode. And, you know, this gives me a chance to put some recipes up because I'm getting a little rusty at writing recipes.
Oh, yeah.
Or actually, I've been getting a lot of practice because I just redid Yeah, I did my whole food safety plan and for Atlas and all new recipes typing them out. And it's
there's a lot of writing out recipes when your food plans.
And it's not just this is a food, this is how I receive it, this is how I hold it. So I'm like, okay, let's just get back to the basics and do some Christmas dinner.
You know, you sort of threw it out there, the Christmas dinner, but I mean, really this I would think if we're talking turkey and we're talking the big feasts. Canadian Thanksgiving just happened a few weeks ago. American Thanksgiving is like a week or two away. They all sort of fall into one another. You know, those big turkey feasts.
I know. So, it's just a great time to get fat.
Yeah.
You know, that you eat too much and have your pants split a bit, which I'm okay with once in a while, right?
So. Yeah. So what do you want to talk about? I mean,
well, I was just thinking about, actually it was myself and Kirsten we were talking about. We were like, you know, we need to have the old tacky sweater, Christmas sweater,
right?
Old school Christmas dinner,
right?
You know what I'm talking about? The one when you know with your grandmother and the whole family. And
well, as we're saying this, I see that you've got this picture at your feet as we're talking right now, and it's this fantastic. I don't know if you intended me for you to even see this.
Oh, I totally did.
Okay, it's this big feast. It looks like late 50s, early 60s. Everybody's around the table. It's black and white. There's every person has a cigarette in hand as the turkey's being carved at the table. I mean, it's pure comedy. And is that what your inspiration is for
this? Totally my inspiration for this.
All right.
Yeah, I might have to take up smoking to do this, but I don't recommend that to anyone. No, I was just kind of laughing about the whole thing because I'm like, it's that old English Christmas dinner. You know, like bring out that turkey, the old braised.
Yeah.
Braised turkey, you know? So like you get nice and juicy in the middle but crispy on the outside.
Right.
Just going back to all those kind of childhood memories, Brussels sprouts.
Oh God. I think my mom, my brother and I could have easily never had a single Brussels sprout. My dad swore by them. We had to have Brussels sprouts every year. Couldn't stand them.
You know,
and
what?
You know, as an adult now, I've turned them into doing a way where the whole family enjoys them. Dad gets his Brussels sprouts. My brother and I get, you know, something a little more culinarily is inspired than a boiled off Brussels sprout. So, making them palatable.
Making them palatable. And you know what? Every year, that's the only time I'll eat a Brussels sprout. It's just not my thing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I've had good Brussels sprouts. I've had bad Brussels sprouts.
Right.
And I'm just like...
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, mortified by... I had grandparents that probably lived in those pictures. You know, like...
Yeah.
They probably went through those very experiences and...
The paper hat and the crackers.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that Brussels sprouts just boiled... Just boiled Brussels sprouts.
Right.
And I think that's where it ruined me.
Right.
As a child. And yeah.
Well, let's talk about some things. What are the key foods that you're thinking of? Or at least ones that go through my head and all.
Yeah, really quickly for me, I will say that the last, I would say maybe 7 years, my tradition is to do non-traditional.
Okay.
So even though I love tradition, I really do. If I get invited somewhere for whatever, I love to partake in a traditional dinner. But because our family was so rooted in tradition, and as our family started went through some different changes and new lineups and what have you. The one thing that I was like, you know, I'm going to try something new every year. And I'm going to try not just one thing new every year. I'm going to try to reinvent the whole thing every year.
Okay.
And that's generally what I've done for about the last 6 or 7 years. So we can get into that more in a minute. But what about you? What's your
Well, it's always for me traditional. I mean, to me, the food is just the bonus. It's mm-hmm. always been the family event. And mm-hmm. I have lucky that I have lots of aunts and uncles that have all migrated to this area.
Right.
So it's great. So we have always gone to a different family's house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
every
nice.
Year. So it's great, but there's always the traditional and everyone does it a little bit differently, but
of course,
we do always have the turkey. Someone always does a turkey and right. it's always done amazing. I don't know how they've done it. There's lots of tricks and everyone has their own ways.
What's yours? What's yours? Do you have a set way?
You
a
know
preferred
what?
Way?
I definitely like the braising it, you know, like starting it off covered.
Mm. Yeah.
And keeping that moisture in there and letting it cook through and then bringing it off to let it glaze on the outside to get that beautiful crusting on it. So I always remember a trick of hitting the skin with boiling water.
Or to shock it.
Just to shrink that skin up so it just has that tendency just to trap everything in there. Honestly, I've gotten to the point in my career that I hate cooking a whole turkey because...
Right.
In the end, it usually comes out dry. So a lot of times I find myself, I'm deboning the whole thing and doing rolls and doing gallons.
I got to tell you, that's exactly it. That's my thing now is I've tried, and it, just this last Thanksgiving, I didn't do it that way. But in the last little while, I've found that my favorite way to do the turkey, I mean, brining or not brining, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
So much as I debone it and I, I take... I don't even know if I'm sure there's a name for this method, but you take one breast and then you put the other one the exact opposite and you truss them.
Right.
And then I start with that and then I start with the bones, all the different, like the wings and the drumsticks. And then I'll throw that trussed breast in about 20 minutes, half an hour into the cooking process.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it's going to cook a little. You know, it doesn't have the bones to contend with. And I found that, like, sometimes, like I said, sometimes I brine it, sometimes I don't. I switch up the brine sometimes.
Right.
But I've found that that's giving me the most consistently moist and tender turkey. And every piece is enjoyable. It's not that this is enjoyable at the expense of that.
Yeah.
Like, that ended up drying out. It's just, it's all good.
Yeah. But, no, yeah. And that's what I find.
Yeah.
But there still is something just beautiful about seeing that whole bird on the table.
Yeah.
I've definitely brined. I'm glad you brought up brining because I think that's actually a fabulous way. I've kind of moved into my whole way of doing meats now, and that is just brining them, just soaking them
in
that just a salt solution of some sort, and maybe adding some sweetness and some different flavors just so that infuse into the meats. And it just gives them that little bit of extra moisture inside
when
you cook it. So
I know, absolutely. I never did before. And then I think it was my brother that really hammered it home. He was like, "You're an idiot if you're not brining." And and I was like, "I really don't see the difference." But the truth is now that I've made it into a practice, I do see the difference.
Yeah.
I can, I just find all my meats more enjoyable now when they've been brined. There is that extra juiciness. So
for sure.
Yeah.
What other things? I mean, stuffing, there's a huge,
oh my God,
huge debate.
I was going to say,
do you put
in the bird,
sausages in the bird, out the bird.
Yeah.
What's the best way to do stuffing?
I generally do a separate stuffing.
I'm with you on that. I think that's the better way. I know it's separate. Traditional.
Yep. I've done, with meats, I've done without, I've tried, ridiculously expensive bacons that ended up having no real effect on it. I've tried some sausage meats. I've tried various forms of nuts to marry it up with. I've tried throwing in fruits like dried cranberries. I find my favorite is an excessive amount of butter.
Yes.
Lots and lots of sage and thyme and, your ground spices. Your standard greens, and then really you can go from there. Like that's my favorite. The base though is some good bread, good solid hearty bread, and then as long as it's got a lot of butter, some turkey stock, and some some herbs. I love this. I love trying it everything out after.
It should be good. Yeah, stuffing's such a great thing, and mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I'll add just a bit of stock there just to get a bit of moisture if the bread's a bit dry, right?
But yeah,
I mean, really, just make sure it's seasoned and it's got some good flavors in there, and give a good crust on it when it bakes in the oven. It's always great. So
yeah, you got to have that mix of textures. You need that overly soggy piece next to that really crunchy piece. I love that mix of texture.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing also better than just, you know, that the gravy or your, I'm just going to call it gravy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that jus, the drippings that come off there, having a nice stock, deglazing your pan and just whipping that up together. And
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm always on the hit. Do you do roux? Yeah. Or do you do a starch, like an arrowroot or a cornstarch?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I've done it, but I've done it not, like I've done it like a roux gravy. And then I've done like, just like a reduction of the juices, you know, just sort of fortify those juices with some white wine and a few other aromatics and just reduce it down to almost like a glaze. I don't know. I like you said, I love messing around with it. That's my favorite thing, is trying something new. For me though, I realized that I started getting a little out of hand. Like for me now, generally, when I make a turkey dinner, I'm making 10 dishes.
You know, right.
I'm making turkey, I'm making gravy, I'm making stuffing, I'm doing the Brussels sprouts for somebody. I'm generally making a cranberry. Like, I've never bought cranberry sauce since I was 21.
You've never
like
had
21.
That can.
I think 21 or 22 was the last time I bought that.
I love that when you jiggle the can and the can and the just holds it safe and goes clunk.
Do you know what I found as my basis now for cranberry sauce? And it's simple. You know, and I'm not, you know, we're not in the back pocket of Ocean Spray. But, you know, around this time, that time of year, you can buy that bag of fresh cranberries from Ocean Spray.
Right.
They seem to be everywhere. I'm sure other brands are in other localities, but around
here. I'm pretty sure a lot of those are actually grown in this area, too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So what I do is I take that entire bag. I take a roasting pan, or not a roasting pan, sorry, a casserole pan, like a one of those glass 9x13 dishes or whatever. Throw those all in there. Throw a little bit of juice, just enough to get about halfway up the cranberries, and some sugar and some malt vinegar, and then another flavor. So I might spice it, throw in some cloves and what have you, some cardamom. I might throw in half of a little bottle or a half cup of port.
Right.
I might throw in, and every year, like I say, I like to do it a little different. Sometimes the juice changes too. And you just throw that in the oven for 40 minutes. Halfway through, you take it out, you take your potato masher, just give it a mash.
Mash and you're good to go, eh?
But yeah, and it takes something that everybody's like, oh my God, cranberry sauce takes forever. It's a killer. It takes hours. For me, it's just another one of those little dishes in the oven and out the oven. It's very little work at all. And you can have so much fun with it. You know, you add new flavors right in there. So.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy just to add. Like, cranberries go well with so many little things. So
I love it. You know, but
a little citrus, little anything.
I love because people just overlook that. And it's a forgettable component of the dinner. I love the fact that I can always make that part exciting too. But I sort of deviated there. Like I said, I'm up to 10 dishes now. So aside from the turkey, cranberry, gravy, stuffing, sprouts, I also generally try to do another green vegetable. I've got my mashed potatoes. And then I try to round it out with a few other vegetables. So there'll be a carrot dish or a yam dish, or quite often I'll do a mashed yam dish because that's my mom passed a few years ago, and that was one that was always key. So again, it's tradition.
That's the yam mash.
It's tradition, but I always try to reinvent it too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's I got to rein it in.
I find it always flips back and forth for me, and it's like, you know, do you do the yam mash? And then you do the roasted yams the next year and just do some fresh herbs. And then I'll do like mashed potatoes or I'll do.
Right.
Yeah. And most of the time I luck out because most people don't make me cook turkey dinner or Christmas dinner because I usually get stuck carving or helping out the final adjustments of everything. But yeah, they're usually like, oh, you've been doing this all year long. I'll take a break today. So I'm like very thankful to all my family for allowing me to have a day off. And be able to enjoy that food with them. I'm trying to think of some other fabulous dishes. I mean, my family's always been very creative and they always like to, you know, I think they're almost one-upping each other. So,
oh, that's cool.
You know, I've seen quiches, I've seen, you know, everything like that. They just like to come up with their own ideas. So,
I like my brother is, he's obviously probably outside of where any work environment I've ever been in. He's like my biggest sort of culinary influence. I find so much inspiration from him. And but he is he's this sort of the same way, like we do these big expansive whatever, but now he's eschewed it all together. Like anything that calls for turkey, he won't do it. Like at Christmas dinner, if we're doing it with him, he just said, we actually just talked about Christmas dinner last night. Well, my dad was up and we had a big group dinner and family dinner, and he said, okay, well, I'll cook dinner, but I'm doing beef tenderloin. And we're like, well, why can't we just do a turkey? He's no turkey. I'm doing beef tenderloin. We're like, all right, fine, whatever. That's if you're going to do it, yeah, it's yours.
Well, actually, I did this year for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I had a wonderful dinner at my aunt's, and it was delicious and traditional turkey.
Yeah.
And he always throws in this pomegranate and spinach salad. That's always quite tasty too.
Oh, so, yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, the one thing that, there's a couple other really good dishes there too, but I'm blanking on them at this moment. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so the next day we went home and Kirsten decided to have a few people over, and we decided to have a vegetarian Thanksgiving dinner at our house.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Which had a few people bail on us because they're like...
Oh, I was just going to say, I remember being invited to that, and yeah, I remember not being able to make it.
Yeah, because you're like, there's no turkey, I'm not coming.
No, it wasn't that at all. It wasn't that at all. I can't remember what the timing was, but I think... I can't remember what it was. Yeah. But I remember there was a valid reason why I wasn't able to get.
Anyways, we threw it all together, and it was quite a delightful meal. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun because we took a lot of stuff out of the garden and whipped it up. So we had like warm potato salad, like a nice German warm potato salad. And... had a whole bunch of blanking on the name of it right now. Kohlrabi.
Oh, yeah.
So I had some kohlrabi. So I made a kohlrabi slaw out of it.
Nice.
Did that. Was nice and sweet. And then we clipped some greens and sautéed those up and did a little curried kohlrabi greens on the side. So, but it was like...
Oh, that's good.
There was no... It was all vegetarian, all vegetable dishes, but we were all stuffed and full by the end of it. And there wasn't a lot of starches in it, too. Like, it wasn't like it had a bunch of rice and all this stuff. It was like just lots of vegetables. So it was kind of nice. I mean, it would have been, I think actually a turkey would have been lost in the whole deal.
Right.
But it was kind of fun. So.
Wow. Well, my dad just got married, too. And he's been dating his new wife for a few years, of course. So I've known her for quite some time. But she actually threw into the mix one of her traditions. And so we are going to do, on Christmas Eve, we're going to do a big fondue.
Oh,
this will be interesting. This will be the second time I've fondued in my life.
Really?
Yeah. But as soon as she said it, I'm like, I am game. I am all over it. I'm looking forward to this. I'm really excited about it. So we'll see how that goes.
See how that sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. I used to, with the ex, being Austrian, we used to do the Christmas Eve, Christmas tradition. And we always had, it was always fish.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a traditional.
Right. European.
European Catholic sort of deal. Forgive me if I'm totally being...
John's just making things
up. I'm just making that stuff. But anyways, we used to always have that. And that was always a wonderful dinner that we'd have like a breaded snapper or something like with some lemons and that. And then, warm potato salad and a couple other dishes. It was a little bit lighter than the turkey dinner, but still a great dinner. And I guess the real fact is just being able to get together and share a bunch of food with the people.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Fun, so. And you know, I'm the same way. I mean, I was married to a Swedish woman for a few years there, and I miss that Swedish Christmas. I mean, the whole term smorgasbord, which we've, sort of co-opted, that's a Swedish term.
We bastardized.
Yeah, that's that Swedish, that's what happens. That's what dinner is on a Swedish Christmas. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah?
You know, somebody puts out 30 dishes. That's generally what a smorgasbord has, is 30 dishes, and it's this fantastic, but you only eat the smallest amount of each thing.
Well, because there's 30 things.
But it's fantastic. I miss it. I really do. I would love to one day to show all my friends what I learned by being married to a Swede for a few years there, and I would love to do a smorgasbord for somebody. And I don't even think that needs to be holiday related. I think that could be, here's some fun things just in the season.
Well, I know with our dinner that we've been talking about hosting, we're going to go back and look at some old school recipes. Like I think we may do the old Jell-O.
No.
Jello salad.
So you guys are going to go all out. You're going to go gaudy sweaters, but you're also going to do the gaudy dishes.
I think we're going to try it. See if I can make this actually work
like
out for...
three different Jello salads?
I have got
One's got ham in it or something?
Yeah. I don't know. We're going to see. I'm going to try and take it to that next level. Like, right. I want to go back and hit these old... I've got a ton of old...
Yeah.
I think recipe books from like 50s, 60s, and 70s. And
can you get a canned turkey for that? You know, like,
you know, we'll see what we can do with the spam. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I mean, there's another great one is ham with Christmas dinner, too. It's like a nice sliced ham is always beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the big question is
Christmas
pudding.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I'm ambivalent. I could take it or leave it. I don't really.
It seems like that tradition. I know some people are like, they will kill someone for it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's,
yeah,
it's one of those things, but yeah, we used to do like a, you know, the nice cognac on top of it. And you're
oh,
like,
really? Yeah.
Oh
yeah. I don't know. My house, we didn't really do sweets. We didn't do desserts. We didn't do anything. So that, I mean, we did a lot of baking, but that was separate. That wasn't meant to go with dinner. That was always like, you know, that was for whatever, for gift giving more so than anything else. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I know my mom made a Christmas cake every year.
Wow.
And I think only two people ever ate it.
Wow. Yeah.
But it was just packed full of, you know, all the nuts and
maraschino cherries
and all that stuff. And then she would put that thick coating of icing that was like a brick, you know, the same stuff you put a gingerbread house together with, but just ladled over top of it. So
where it's good for the first half hour. And then once it sets, it's chewy, it's crunchy.
But it's good for an eternity. I honestly may feel that she may just have brought the same one out every year.
Nice.
And it was still good. I still think it was good, but.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm really interested to see how far you go with this. I want to see how your 50s/60s Christmas dinner party goes.
I think it should be a blast. Anyways, if anyone out there has some great old recipes or some ideas for some of their favorite Christmas recipes or Christmas meals that they have, we'd love to see them. If you could send them to us on our Facebook page, would be great. And maybe we can get a list of things going on there of great Christmas ideas.
Absolutely.
Maybe we can help everyone out. Help me with some great ideas and spread the message of good Christmas.
I'm happy to even join in there. I'll throw in one of my favorite modern recipes and one of my favorite throwback recipes. See if we can get the ball rolling there.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay.
Well, we'd like to, I guess we got to thank our sponsors again for supporting us and keeping this podcast going.
Absolutely. And I must say, and this isn't because... But this is how well I've got my dad trained. My dad, like I said, he came up just a few days ago. One of the first things he did, asked about Ivan. One of the second things he did, he talked about going to Atlas. And then he was talking about how they had to go pick up something for dinner, meats-wise. I'm like, you're going to Butcher Block, right? He's like, of course I am. I'm like, my dad, you know, he knows how to make me happy. Keep the people that support us supported. So, we want to thank Atlas Cafe. We want to thank Ivan's Truffles. And we want to thank Butcher's Block for all their continued support.
And next thing now, he can come up to his show here at Studio Live and check out one of those, because they're definitely supporting us by keeping the show going.
For sure.
Thanks, James.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next episode then, I guess, John.
Yeah. And don't forget to like and subscribe to the Edible Valley podcast. Definitely check us out on Facebook at the Edible Valley, and send us any of your questions or ideas or recipe ideas for sure for Christmas to the edible valley@gmail.com. And thanks for listening.